Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
What is considered to be a mountain on earth is a pebble in heaven. It is a speck of dust in heaven. But what is considered to be a pebble on earth is a mountain. It is a strong tower. It is a fortress in heaven. Oh, child of God. You know, you don't need to big yourself up. God has already done that. He's made you very, very big in his own eyes. And he's calling you now to be a champion. He's calling you to be a champion. You are not the tail. You are the head, and he's calling you to be a champion. He's calling you to take responsibility and to take stock and to be ready to engage with that which he has placed upon your life. No longer are you going to abdicate your role, abdicate your responsibility. Now is the time that for you to receive by faith what the Lord has entrusted into your hands and to begin to move by that same faith. Don't step out in faith because you're never out of faith. You are always in faith. You're a child of faith. You have been saved through faith. So you are in faith. You just need to begin to move in the faith that you are in. You begin to trust God in the faith that is upon your life, and he will do great and marvelous exploits through you. There are people who are waiting to hear your story. There are people who are waiting to receive that which God has given to you. Even that which he has sown into your life. He says, freely you have received, now freely you give. He has imparted heaven into your heart. He has imparted the kingdom into your inner man. And now he says, child of God, no more delay, no more delay. No more delay. You need to begin to move. You need to take that first step of faith. You need to begin to move in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You are not small. You are not insignificant. You are not a nobody. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name is not, you don't need to have your name on social media. You don't need to be known by anybody. You are famous enough, child of God. You are famous in the halls of heaven. You are famous in the throne room of the Most High God. You need to know who you are today, and you need to act accordingly.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus, can you help us today? Oh, God, and help me preach. You don't need, let me tell you something. You don't need to concern yourself. I'll say it again. You need to watch out for these YouTube charlatans that are trying to prepare you for their version of 2024. You need to, okay, maybe one person is in agreement. You need to watch out for these liars. Stop, come off that YouTube. You don't need to do that, child of God. You don't need to do that. You have your Bible. You have the Holy Spirit. That is all you will ever need. You make sure that you remain in the counsel of those who are going where you're going, doing what you're doing, saying what you're saying. And my God in heaven, may he help us, because he said, what the Lord has shown me. How many videos have I seen? This is what the Lord has said about 2024. This is what the Lord has said about 2024. Let me tell you what my God said this about 2024. It's right here in his word. I don't need anything else. Oh, God, help me preach. Time is going. I have a very important word, but I can't get off of this. I don't need anything. You don't need anything else. You don't need anything else. His timeline is his timeline. Don't concern yourself. Eastern Europe, Middle East, whatever it is, here in the UK, America, elections coming up. Who it doesn't make any difference how bad it's going to get. It makes no difference. The storm cannot stop you.
Amen.
The storm cannot stop you from doing what God has called you to do, from being who God has called you to be. This is not the time to say, I'm going to see what happens, and then some liar, some deceiver, is it here, 2020, so that they can get YouTube. Shame on you. I can get some YouTube views.
You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You're a child of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords. You are formidable. Hallelujah. You're a mighty army, a holy priesthood, a royal, a holy nation. Glory to God. You need to start saying to yourself, I'm not falling for this anymore. I'm strong in the Lord. No matter how many times BBC lies to you, ITV tries to deceive you, I'm strong in the Lord. I'm getting my intel from the one who is intelligent. Those who know their God will be strong and they will do great exploits. And you have everything you need to know your God. To walk with him, to be in intimacy with him, and he with you. Paul says there are many, many, many teachers. But he says, I would swap a million teachers for one father. And no man claims to be your father. I may be your pastor, but I'm not your father. You have one father. And he is in heaven. Amen. When the Lord puts people, though, in your life to guide you, to shepherd you, to care for you, to feed you, to lead you, that's the safest place to be on earth. Amen. Please, child of God, I implore you, guard your eyes, guard your ears, guard your mind, and guard your heart, out of which flows the issues of life, the very essence of your life. Oh, God, help us. Oh, Father, we give you thanks. Help us maximize the time we have left. Use it for your glory. Help me deliver this word to the best of your ability. I thank you for the anointing. I thank you for the grace. I thank you for the enabling. And Lord, let every heart be prepared in this place. Let every mind be prepared in this place, O God. Thank you for the preparation of the message. Lord, continue to prepare the messenger. Lord, I humble myself before you. I say, God, I'm nothing without you, Jesus. I'm nothing without you, Lord. Take this vessel. Take this clay, oh God, and use this clay for your glory. What else can happen, Lord? What else can I do? But I look to you, oh Lord. It's your word. It's your message. And we are your people. So have your way amongst us, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles, come with me now to Psalm 34, the 34th Psalm. And we read the first 8 verses. Psalm 34 says, 1-8, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Thank you, Lord. The Lord will add and command blessing to his word. I believe that one of the main struggles, we struggle with many things as followers of Christ, there's no doubt about that, but one of those struggles that most people in life have to deal with, is the ability to praise God at all times. That's the title of our message, Praising God at All Times. That's a struggle. But what does it really mean to praise God at all times? Is it even possible? And if it is possible, how do we do it? Oh, I know it's possible, but do you know it's possible? And if you do know it's possible, then why? Because it's not enough to say, yes, it is possible without knowing how it's possible. Because when you know how something is possible, then you can critically think about it and then apply that thinking to your life. If you don't know how, if you don't have the building blocks of why a thing is a thing, then it will remain fictional. And that's why understanding what the Word of God says about something is critical. Now, while I was preparing this message, I realized that this is something, believe it or not, that I struggle with. And I only realized it while studying the message, preparing for this message. The Lord got me. He got me well and proper. As I studied the text and really thought what it actually means to bless the Lord at all times and to praise Him continually, it dawned on me that even though praise has always been and continues to be a key part of my life in Christ, I majored on praising God sometimes, but I minored on praising God all the times. So as I've said, just like I discovered about myself, praising God at all times is something that many of you may struggle with. I believe it is. Not just because of the circumstances that you may face from time to time, but more so because in most cases we consider praise to be just another spiritual activity that we engage in as believers, an activity that is usually restricted to our Sunday gatherings and our quiet times. But church, praise and praising God continually is being a person who is ready to respond to God moment by moment. Praise is a response to God, a moment by moment response to God to the revelation of His glory and His goodness. And this has nothing to do with your personality type, has nothing to do with whether or not you're an introvert or an extrovert. It has nothing to do with whether or not you're extravagant in your praise or you're not extravagant. There's nothing to do with your personality type. This is everything to do with the fact that you are a person who has been aware, made aware. You have received a revelation of who your God is. And that is a revelation that you and I are to receive moment by moment. Not just in favorable times or in times that are better circumstances, moment by moment. And upon receiving that revelation, we have a response. And that response is praise. It's more than just the odd praise the Lord or hallelujah that we say from time to time in response to something that we have seen or heard or experienced. It's nothing absolutely wrong with that. But a moment by moment response to the revelation of God's glory and goodness. So don't get me wrong. Praising God as part of our public and private devotion is wonderful and essential. We've just done it. But as true as this may be, it can, and in most cases, will fall short of what it truly means to praise God at all times. Church, there is a difference between praising God sometimes and praising God at all times. The evangelist Ray Comfort said this: Christianity doesn't offer a smooth flight, but it does provide a safe landing. Nowhere in the Christian faith does God promise an easy ride for those who follow Him. It isn't a secret to obtaining material wealth or a guarantee that no hard times will come upon you. But what lies in Christianity is a promise that God will be with us even through our struggles and that we will be with Him for all of eternity. That is why we remain devoted to Him, and that is why we can praise Him regardless of our circumstances. Again, praising God at all times can be defined as a moment-by-moment response to the revelation of God's glory and the revelation of God's goodness. When was the last time God revealed both to you in a measure that caused you to spontaneously offer praise to Him? It's a rhetorical question. You don't need to answer it, but I would like you to think about that. So regardless of what season in life we may currently be in at this moment, we need to praise God at all time. It is not a nice to have. There is nothing in the Word of God that is a suggestion to God's people. Please take time just to let that sink in. There is nothing in the Scriptures that is a suggestion. Everything is there, laid out for us to choose to pick it up and apply it or not. God says that this is my instruction to you. David is expressing a personal reality for him, but it's a personal reality that has been inspired by the same Holy Spirit who has called every one of us into not just a lifestyle of praise, but a life of praise. And not just a life of praise, but a life that has been offered to God as praise. God is worthy of our praise at all times. And if this concept is something that feels a bit foreign or unattainable, then my hope is that this message will help us with that. But now the question is, how can we, by the grace of God, remove the restrictions that have been placed on our ability and capacity to praise God at all times? Because again, if we can be really honest, they have been put in place. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself. I will compartmentalize prayer. I come to church, I praise, I get up, I have my devotion. Okay, I'm going to praise. I have my own way of doing it. You will all have your own way of doing it. You know, you can praise God when you're walking the dog, walking the cat, or whatever it is that you lot do. You can praise God when you're driving, both hands on the steering wheel, please. No, the raising hands, because that could cause some issues. You can do any of those things, but the fact of the matter is, we have to be honest with ourselves whether or not that constitutes praising God at all times or just sometimes. And it's not about focusing so much on this that it becomes a stumbling block, but it's about stopping and reading it again and saying to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me see this, help me understand it. And if I am missing something, then help me know what it is and help me put it right. And that's all it is. That's all the Lord is asking us to do. So how can we remove these restrictions? Well, before we answer that question or tackle that question, let us consider what happens when we do praise God in every context, even now, privately, publicly, whatever it is. Sometimes, all the time, every context, what happens when we praise? Number one, when we praise, praise proclaims the glory and the goodness of God. Psalm 107:8 Amplified says this, "Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men." Praise proclaims the glory and the goodness of God. Number two, praise declares that God is magnified and exalted. Psalm 34, verse 3. New King James Version says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Now, it's very, very important point to be made at that right here. And it's this. God isn't magnified and exalted by our praise. God is already magnified. And God is already exalted. That doesn't happen when we praise. Because he already is. When we praise him, we are declaring that he is magnified, that he is exalted. All right, so there's a difference there. I can't unpack it anymore because of time. Number three, praise creates a dwelling place for God's presence. Psalm 22:3, "But you are holy, you who dwell in the holy place, where the praises of Israel are offered." Praise prepares and creates a holy place for a holy God to come and dwell. This is why every spiritual discipline that you and I engage in is holy and must remain holy, of which praise is one of them. Number four, praise transforms the spiritual atmosphere. Isaiah 61, 1-3 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good tithing to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness," or the spirit of despair, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and that he may be glorified. Praise changes the atmosphere. You know, we've all been in atmospheres, even in our, whether it's in our church, in church maybe, or a meeting, or in our homes. An atmosphere in our school and an education system. An atmosphere in our family situation, an atmosphere in our finances, an atmosphere in the area of our physical health. Everything is all to do with atmospheres. Because atmospheres are very, I can't unpack this anymore, but you got to understand, there is a direct link between an atmosphere and a territory, a culture, an environment. An environment has to be made up of an environment is made up of an atmosphere. An atmosphere is made up of a particular climate. You get a particular climate that produces you get an atmosphere that produces a particular climate, and a climate produces a particular culture or environment. This is how, so if it's a climate of depression and despair, it will produce a culture of this depression and despair, because it has come from an atmosphere of depression and despair. This is why we praise, because when you praise, it changes the very spiritual atmosphere around you. And it changes the atmosphere because heaven comes. Why? Because the Lord encamps, he is enthroned upon the praises of his people. When Jesus comes, he comes with everything that he is. He comes with everything that he has. This is when you praise God, it changes the atmosphere in that marriage. It changes the atmosphere with your children. It changes the atmosphere in your whole entire home.
I believe we change an atmosphere in the whole nation. Number five, praise brings liberty. As Paul and Silas, as they prayed and they sung hymns to the Lord, Acts 16, 25, 28. It says, "The foundation of the prisons shook, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed." Chains were loosed. Number six, praise brings deliverance. Psalm 34, 7 declares, "The angel," singular, not plural, capital A, not small a, angel, that is Christ, an Old Testament representation of the second person of the Godhead. "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, those who revere and worship him with awe, and each of them he delivers." So to summarize this, do you know that when we bless the Lord at all times, and when his praise is continually on our mouths, in our mouths, we will continually proclaim the glory and the goodness of God. We will continually declare that he is magnified and exalted. We will continually create a dwelling place for his presence. We will continually transform the spiritual atmosphere around us. We will continually walk in liberty, and we will continually live in deliverance. You've got to understand, when God says you need to do something, there is a purpose behind it. He is not an egocentric God. "Oh, I just want you to praise me." No, he deserves that. But he says you got to understand the exchange that takes place between heaven and earth and between earth and heaven. So what do we now need to do to address this restriction
Because this is going to be your daily life. It has to be our daily. Every moment, his glory, his goodness. Every moment, him being magnified and exalted. Every moment, him being so aware of his presence. Being so aware of his presence that it leads to the transformation of every atmosphere in that office, every atmosphere in that place of employment, every atmosphere in that place of education. Something happened where there is gossiping and where there is backbiting and where there is just horrible talk going on. When you step into the room, something changes. Something has to shift because of the presence of God and the glory of God upon your life. He says, you got to get this. And that's why it's a continual thing. So what do we need to do? If you're taking notes, I pray you are. If not, maybe I'll send them out, but we'll see as the Lord leads. Number one, make it your goal. If you want to praise God at all times, because I know it's a difficult thing. It's a struggle. It's something that the Lord had to take my mind and he had to say, come on, son, stop taking these things for granted. Get into the word and see what I am saying and see what I'm trying to show you about this. Make it your goal. Bring it on the agenda table. Bring it back on the table if it's not on the table. Make it your goal. If you want to praise God at all times, make doing so your goal. David said, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We make goals because the thing that needs to be achieved is very important. When we make it our goal to bless God at all times and to praise God continually, we are doing so because achieving such a thing is very important to us, but more so, it is very important to him. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord. His praise shall be. He says, I will and it shall be. This is non-negotiable. I will, it shall. David made praising God at all times his goal, and one that he was determined to achieve. Why? Because his God was worthy of a response to his goodness. Your God is worthy of a response to his goodness to you. If he has been good to you, which he is, every moment of your life, then he is worthy of a response. How you make that response is something that you and the Holy Spirit has to work out. But God is worthy of a response. That is for sure. And we know that this means a lot to God. But what does it mean to bless the Lord? We know what it means when we are blessed by God. We know what that means. When God blesses us, our lives are changed and we are equipped and we are empowered to fulfill his purpose and his plans for our lives. But what does it mean to bless him? To bless God means to ascribe blessing to him. It means to acknowledge and therefore proclaim that he and he alone is the source of all blessing, be it spiritual, temporal, eternal blessing. To bless God is to give him the glory and the honor that is due his name. The author A.W. Tozer said this, if God gives you a few more years, remember it is not yours. Your time must honor him. Your home must honor God. Your activity must honor God. And everything you do must honor God. David said, I will. May God give us the grace to say, I will. David said, it shall be. May God give us the grace to say, it shall be. Amen. So much I want to share, but we'll go to the second one. Number two, make it a habit. Number one, make it a goal. Number two, if you want to praise God at all times, make it a habit. A habit, by definition, is something that you do often and regularly, sometimes without knowing that you are doing it. We have some good habits, but we also have some bad habits. A habit is a settled or regular tendency or practice, especially one that is hard to give up. Again, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So we break it down. He says, I will. That's his goal. Bless the Lord at all times. That's his habit. His praise shall continually. That's his habit. Be in my mouth. When you take a closer look at these words, at all in the Hebrew means everything, everywhere, wholeheartedly. Everything, everywhere, all throughout, wholeheartedly. Nothing missing. Everything. Everything that I have, all throughout, anytime, any place, everywhere. It says at all times. Times means what? It means always. It means whenever. It means season. It means circumstance. It means now. It literally means that. It means now. What about continually? Continually in the Hebrew means continuously. It means at all times. It means always. It means regularly. Now, we know that continually and continuously have separate meanings. When you do something continually, that is something that is done regularly. When you do something continuously, that is something that happens without interruption. It is unceasing. And what we find in the text is that when David says continually, he was meaning both continually, regularly, and continuously without ceasing. So if we were going to paraphrase Psalm 31, incorporating all these things, it would sound something like this. I will bless the Lord at all times, wholeheartedly and completely, in any season and in all circumstances. His praise shall continually and regularly be in my mouth, unceasingly and without interruption.
Amen.
That's exactly what it means. And church, when by the grace of God we are able to do this, then I believe that God will help us even more. The actor and author F.M. Alexander, who is not a Christian as far as I'm aware, said this: people do not decide their futures. They decide their habits, and their habits decide their futures. I pray that the Lord will help us with this. If you want to learn, if you want the Holy Spirit to show you how to praise God at all times, make it your habit to do so. Number three, experience God for yourself. If you want to praise God at all times, you need to experience Him for yourself. Again, Oswald Chambers said this: you will never cease to be the most amazed person on earth at what God has done for you on the inside. Church, you need to seek to be the most amazed person on the earth simply because of who your God is and because of what your God has done. You got to put yourself in a position where you say, I can't speak for anybody else, but I know what my God has done for me. And I am more amazed than anyone else on this planet. I am more amazed than the thief on the cross because of what Jesus has done for me. You need to experience Him for yourself. David had tasted and he had seen that the Lord is good. So we see that in Psalm 34:8. Taste and see. You got to taste and see for yourself that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. David had tasted and he had seen that the Lord is good. Why? Because it was God who delivered him from all his fears. It was God who had saved him out of all his troubles. It was God who was his shepherd, so he lacked nothing. It was God who was his refuge and his fortress and his strong tower. So David had tasted and he had seen that the Lord is good. When you experience the goodness of God for yourself, when you taste and see that He is good, you too will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in your mouth. The Samaritan said to the woman of Samaria, who was the woman at the well, you know, we believe Him. We believe in Him because of your testimony. They met Jesus, and as soon as they connected with Jesus, they refused to let Him go. He stayed with them for 2 days. And then after 2 days, they all believed that He was the Messiah. They then turned to the Samaritan woman, who, by the way, was one of the first evangelists. A woman turned to the Samaritan woman and said to the woman, not only now do we believe just because of your testimony, but we believe because of what He has said. We believe that He is the Christ. We believe that He is the Savior, which is, by the way, praise.
They could have lived vicariously through a woman's experience or any other person's experience, but they had to experience Christ for themselves. They had to taste that he was and is good. You can't live your Christianity through somebody else's experience. Amen? Amen. I said you cannot live your Christianity through someone else's experience. You need to go to the source yourself, child of God. You need to dig deep. You need to press in. Get off of that YouTube. Open your Bible, spend time in the Lord in prayer. Spend time in prayer, spend time in intercession, spend time in worship. You can do it, child of God. He has saved you. He has poured his spirit inside of you. You lack nothing, hallelujah. You lack nothing. You lack nothing, for the Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. You don't need to search for anything else. You have everything that you need to experience him for yourself. The way has been made open. It doesn't matter how many times you fall. It doesn't matter how many times you get it wrong. It doesn't matter how many times you sin. He says, when you fall and when you sin, your position is not to run away from me. Your position is to run to me. Hallelujah. He says, you run to me, child of God. You boldly approach this throne of grace to find help and to find mercy in your time of need. Amen. That's your Abba Father. That's who he is. The one who sits on the throne, the one who is an all-consuming fire, the one before whom the whole universe and the unknown universe quakes. He says, come, feast of me. My banquet is me. Everything I am is all you'll ever need. And all you'll ever need is found in everything I am. And when this happens, you will praise God continually. But he says you got to taste. You have to taste it for yourself. You have to experience it for yourself. And see. I wonder if we have, might be not, that image of the rocks. It might not. I don't know if you can get out, but don't worry if you can't, because the time has gone and I need to finish. In fact, don't worry. Don't worry. Let's just stay on course. You have to see. And you can't see without looking. And too often, we're not seeing because we're not looking, and we're not looking because we are looking somewhere else. Hebrews 12:2, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, the first incentive of our belief and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. He is the one that we must, as David cried out, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. How many times do you eat something without looking at it? I don't do that. I mean, there are times when it is so quick. The process of ingestion is so quick. My eyes are not quick enough to connect with what I'm eating. Amen. Amen. But in most times, praise the Lord, this is telling me slow down, boy. If you have a piece of fruit or whatever, you take a bite. It's just natural. I don't know. Maybe it's me, but you take a bite and you look at it. You taste and you see. You taste and you see. I mean, and there's sometimes when, okay, we don't see. And we taste. And because we haven't given it all of our attention, the experience has not been a very good one. Some of you know the problem I have with quiche. I have tasted and I have seen that it is not good. Amen. I don't care what anyone else says. It ain't happening. I'm on Niger. We don't eat quiche. Some of you know what that means. Some of you don't. But I don't get quiche. So I remember when, you know, we start a family and you have a baby, your first baby, a baby boy, Gwee. Was adorable, still adorable to us, but no one else, don't tell anybody. And you know what you do? You just want to protect them from everything. You want to be the super parents, the best parents. So no sweets, no chocolate, whatever. When Shade came, everything went out the window. I mean, by the time she was about, 2 days old, man, just take it. Anything to keep you quiet. There's two of you now. This is a whole different ball game. But with him, he's a lovely first time parent, you know. But anyway, it didn't last. It lasted for about 9 months. I remember the first time we gave him ice cream. Whoo! I mean, he had some kind of reaction that I don't think would come out of a baby. I was like, what's he doing? What's going on? I said to Sue, what, you know? I mean, everything, the texture, the sweetness, the cream, the whole experience. And he would put it on a cone and he would look at this thing and stare. I mean, what is this? This is amazing. And, you know, he went in and he tasted and he saw for himself. It wasn't enough for him just to watch his daddy do it, which is something that I did quite regularly with a lot of joy. I would just eat and lick my ice cream and hear, no, sorry, son. We're trying to protect all, you know, and it was fun. It was cruel, but it was fun, you know. But until he tasted and saw himself that ice cream is good, amen, he wouldn't have known any different. We cannot live this Christian experience through someone else's experience. You need to go to the source. You need to go to the source. So taste and see that he is good. Experience God for yourself. And the very last one, I know time is gone, we can have keys maybe, or if the band is back, but fill your hearts up. You need to fill up your heart. So from the top, you've got to make it your goal. You need to make it a habit. You need to experience God for yourself. And the last one, you have got to fill your heart up. Fill your heart up with what? If you want to praise God at all times, you need to fill your heart up with the knowledge of who He is. What does it mean to fill up our hearts with the knowledge of God? This is when our heart, our inner man, becomes flooded and saturated with the knowledge of all that God is. Everything that He is, everything that He represents, everything that He does. Why is it necessary for our hearts to be filled with the knowledge of God? It is necessary because everything that we say and do is from out of the abundance or the overflow of our hearts. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If there is something in there, it will come out of here. Hence, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be where? In my mouth. And it's in your mouth because it is in your heart. And it flows out of your heart. And it is a natural outpouring of praise as you encounter the revelation of the goodness and the grace and the glory and the mercy of an almighty God. But it has to be in there. It has to be in there. When praise comes out of the overflow of our hearts, it flows out of an unconscious outpouring. So regardless of our circumstances,
When the deep well of our hearts are filled with the knowledge of God, we will never experience a drought. We will never experience a drought of hope, a drought of joy, a drought of peace, and a drought of strength. But rather, there will be an overflow. And this overflow will result in an outpouring of praise. How do we fill our hearts with the knowledge of God? Well, you fill your heart with the knowledge of God by filling your heart with the Word of God. Simple as that. That's the first thing. There's two things. Just fill your heart. Read your Bible. It tells you everything about Him. There's no shortcuts. A sermon won't do it. You can hear 1,000 sermons, 10,000 sermons. But if the Holy Spirit does not get hold of you from His Word to show you who your God is, then you will still be living through someone else's experience. You have to get it until it gets you. Wigglesworth said, consume the Word of God until it consumes you. It's in the Word of God. And number two, you got to be fill your heart with the Spirit of God. Fill your heart with the Word of God and fill your heart with the Spirit of God. So this is the last scripture. We've got here. Ephesians 5, 18, 20. Says this, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the grammatical construction there is present continuous. So keep being filled with the Holy Spirit is what it's implying. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody where? In your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter about your personal preferences of worship or praise or whatever. It doesn't matter about your personality type. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about whether or not you can sing or you can't sing. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about you being a living sacrifice, a sacrifice where your life itself becomes a sacrifice of praise. Your very life, your very existence becomes a sacrifice of praise. And praise then no longer becomes compartmentalized. But what happens in that moment is that you make a decision that, God, I don't fully know how to engage with this, but I am ready for you to get hold of my heart. And I'm ready, oh God, for you to fill me to the point of overflowing. Because what does it say? In that moment, you're going to start singing a new song. The song that some of you have been singing has been the old, same old song. The song of despair, the song of rejection, the song of betrayal, the song of brokenness. But you're about to sing a new song. Some of you have been singing the same song for decades, but that's when you start making a melody in your heart to the Lord. Something begins to rise up inside of you. And if you have got vocal ability or any kind of worship ability, that's where it comes from. It doesn't come from the internet. It comes from your heart. And that comes from the Word. And it comes from the Spirit of God. And He says, when you fill up your heart with my Holy Spirit, you will never experience another drought in your entire life. But it will overflow without even you realizing it. That's why a habit is something that you do without sometimes knowing that you're doing it. A habit is something that you do and you cannot stop doing. You will be praising God without even realizing that you're praising God. Because your spirit is responding to what it's being filled with. Your spirit, just as in a bucket. I wish I had a bucket. If you have a bucket here and you just keep on pouring it into the bucket, it is a natural thing. At some point, there will be an overflow. If anyone is thirsty among you, let him come to me and drink. For out of his belly, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers are refreshing. The rivers of living water. And God is saying to the woman at the well, I'm thirsty. I want to tell you that God is thirsty for your praise. Oh, Jesus, help me. He is thirsty for your praise. He is thirsty for your praise. He says, you guys need to water my parched heart right now. He says, we need to look at Him. We need to see Him. We need to behold Him. He says, you got to make it a habit. You need to make it a goal. And then let's stand, please, because time is, really gone. And as you As we learn this, church, and truly apply this to our lives, God says, you're going to proclaim my glory and my goodness. You are going to declare the fact that I am exalted and I am magnified. He says, as you do this, you will transform. I will come and I will inhabit your praises. Wherever you are, I will come and I will inhabit that place. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing. That's why, oh, church, I think I have to share this. All the time, everywhere, anywhere, wherever you are, he says, the moment you recognize yourself as a living sacrifice, a praise offering, you are engaging with the biblical narrative, with the spiritual reality that he says, I am coming to dwell in that place. Yes, he lives inside of us, but there is a Shekinah that comes when God's people begin to release the worship and the incense and the sacrifice, the aroma of praise. He says, I will come and I will bring freedom. I will bring liberty. I will bring deliverance. I will bring protection. Not only to you, but to those around you. As time is really gone, you know, all I'm going to do is I'm going to bring our time to a close. And I just want to, because I know that they're parents with children, and I'm always very sensitive to that. But I've had to really cut, even this is just a sermon that has been cut down, but I believe that the Lord helped me communicate what needed to be communicated. So, but I really think that the Lord, and I don't think it's going to be I don't know how long he wants to be with us today, but I do think that needs to be help from heaven, and there needs to be a response to that help, because I really, really believe that there is an impartation of grace that is about to that is happening, and the Lord is still happening, and there's work that he is doing, because this is a personal revelation that he wants his people to get hold of, because this is going to shift. This is the gear changer. This, the awareness of this reality of being able to not sometimes, but continuously praise him, that's a game changer. So I'm just going to pray, do the benediction. I want to release and love you and release you and pray to see some of you on Tuesday for our welcome evening, even if today is your first day. But if you feel you can tarry just for a little bit longer, then we just encourage you to stay on for a bit longer, and let's see what the Holy Spirit wants to do both in us and through us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all, now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Amen.